She had some pretty important information for you guys to hear, and the baptisms. If you want to know more about it, or if you've been thinking about it, or maybe you, for me, I was baptized when I was a little kid, and I've been rebaptized. I was my brother the week before had went down front and got baptized, and I saw how everybody, you know, hurrahed and doted over him and everything, and I wanted some of that, so the next week I did it. And so throughout the years, it's always kind of bothered me that I may have done that for the wrong reason. And so one night I chose to be rebaptized again, too. So, you know, maybe your situation's like that. Who knows? But first thing I want you to do is get a Bible and a bulletin out. If you don't have one of those, raise your hand. There'll be some guys that'll bring you one. Bible, bulletin, and pen. You may have noticed that there are pens and thank you cards on all the seats. Make sure that you get one of those. Those are going to come. They're going to be pretty important here later on in the message. The Serenity Church QR codes. The little card that has the QR code on it that we're asking you to give to other people. If you don't have any of those are back there on the table where the red box is, where the cross and the red box is. Go ahead and make sure you grab a few of those before you leave to invite somebody. It's the easiest way to do it, I found out. I've been talking with people before the conversation come up, well, what do you do for work? And I said, well, I pastor a church. And don't look so surprised, right? So they kind of look at me sideways, and I'm like, no, well, here. And you can, they just immediately pull out their phone and do the QR code, and it takes them straight to the website. So it's a easy way to promote where you go to church. I need a drink. Because this is, yeah. This next thing, you notice that Hope and Logan and Zach and, my family, they're all not here tonight, and for good reason. Emerson was born. She was, She was born Thursday at 7:13 p.m. She weighed 7 pounds, 7 ounces. Man, we prayed about that because she had so many different complications and that the baby was small. And I know that all y'all were praying. And of course, I was on my knees, too. And God just came through with that. We never expected her to be that big, 20 and a half inches long. And they're home and healthy, and praise the Lord. Hope and Logan, they're asking if for the next couple of days, if you could just not show up, you know, let them get settled in and stuff. And she's going to post on Facebook and to post pictures and junk like that. And then the doors will be open for y'all to come see and call and all that kind of stuff. So give them a couple days just to get settled in and soak it in themselves, and then they're eager to share it with you guys too. It's pretty awesome. So, all right, enough of that. Let's get started. I titled this message, Tell Them Thank You. And I was, one day last week I was praying, and I just caught myself over and over saying, Lord, help me do this, and Lord, help me that, and help me this, and help me that. And we've talked a whole lot about help me, Lord. Heck, we got our prayers. We're shouting, help us, Lord. And we've gone over my first sermon was about foxhole prayers, and Jonah, you know, when he was in the belly of a fish, and does God hear those kind of prayers, the foxhole prayer? And yes, he hears that. Then I talked about praying constantly. We are a church who prays too much, right? And praying without ceasing, which means to just keep God on your heart and on your mind all the time. Lord, we believe you have all power, and we know that you can fix whatever's wrong, so we're shouting, help us, Lord. I asked myself this question, and I wrote it down. Have I forgotten what he's already done? I get so caught up in what I need and the help I need that I forget about what he's already done. I notice myself, I'm really good about saying thank you, Lord, and thank you, Jesus, after he's come through for me in the middle of a crisis when Emerson was too small, we got the news that she's not in the range she should be at this stage, and Hope was having trouble with the placenta being where it's supposed to be and all that kind of stuff. And so, man, I'm on my knees. Help us, Lord. Fix this thing. We know he has that kind of power. And then when he did it, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You did it. But I've forgotten about what he's already done. Those things that he already fixed, the things that he already made good in my life, I've moved on from that. What about when things are going great? What about when all your needs are met? When everything that you need is there? When there's no crisis at all? When there's nothing that has you staying up at night? When there's nothing that has you pacing the floor? Are we even praying at that point? I like to say that I am. Write this down. On the inside right-hand side of your bulletin, the first thing I want you to write down, and it's a question for yourself. Are you thanking God? Are you thanking Jesus? See, we teach our children when they're little, when somebody gives you something, you're supposed to say thank you. The phrase I always used and always heard is, tell them thank you, tell them thank you. And we teach our kids that. But are we doing that? Like I said, I like to think that I'm pretty good at that. I tell him thank you all the time. But I don't recall the stuff that he's already done. See, I have a friend, his name is Jim Williams, and he has passed a few years back. Many of y'all probably know who I'm talking about. His wife was Sherry, and they came to church here some. But Jim lived two doors down from where I did, over on Power Street here in town. And Jim was the kind of guy that he knew all the neighbors, and he knew about what all the neighbors were doing and everything that's going on in the neighborhood. And we would come home sometimes. He knew that we kind of left our door open. And we would come home sometimes, and Jim would be sitting on our couch eating a bowl of ice cream. You know, you walk in, and the TV's on. How y'all doing? And he's sitting there on our couch, you know. He got to be real, real close to me. Some nights I would go down and sit in his garage with him. He was a mechanic, and he was always building something, always working on a motor or something, always working on something. And we'd sit in there and talk. And over in the corner of his garage, there was a shotgun, and it was a double-barrel shotgun. And I kept my eye on it. I looked at that every now and again. Finally, one night I went over there and I picked it up, and it was a 16-gauge, and some of y'all may not know about gauges of shotguns and stuff, but a 16-gauge is, it's not your common. You actually have to kind of look around, and you might have to search a little bit to even find ammunition for it. But it was a Savage That's the brand of the gun, and it was, it's got a bunch of etching in it, real pretty and stuff. And I asked him, I said, you know, he don't hunt or anything like that. I'm like, what, why do you got this shotgun in the corner of your garage over here all the time? You know? He said, well, it was my dad's. It was my dad's shotgun, and before he died, he gave it to me and stuff. Well, a little while later, he was already pretty sick, but he got even more sick where he couldn't get out of the bed. And we knew that it was just going to be a little while before he passed. And I was in there sitting with him and talking and everything, and he said, you know that shotgun out there in my garage? Go get it. And it kind of scared me because I knew that he was, you know, he was counting down. I'm like, well, what's he want to do with a shotgun? You know, so I went out there and got it, and I wasn't about to hand him no shells for it, but he handed it back to me and said, I want you to have this. Amen. It was his dad's. Amen. And I tell you, he gave me something. He gave me something that meant a lot to him. And what that does for me, it makes me thankful. It gives me a reason to talk about Jim Williams. Anytime that I go dove hunting or duck hunting or anything like that, I take that gun along with me. I may not use it, but I take it. And anytime I pull it out, there's always other hunters around. They go, wow, what the heck is that? That's nice. And it's a 16 gauge. That's odd. Yeah. And then I get to tell the story of Jim, my friend who gave it to me. It causes me to talk about him. In John 10:10, I used this scripture last time, and it says, a thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I came to give life, life to the fullest. This is Jesus talking. Jesus came to give life, and life to the fullest. How to the fullest? Simply by giving his own life. See, God and Jesus gave you something. He gave you a reason to talk about him. Have you said thank you lately? See, John 3:16, we all know that one. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him may not be lost but have eternal life. He gave you something. Well, I say thank you all the time. I say thank you all the time to Jesus and God. But do I? Like I said, I go right back to whatever's happening in this moment, that crisis in this moment, and I know that he's going to fix it. Then he fixes it, and I say thank you. Then I move on to the next crisis. I don't remember. I don't recall. I don't go back and go, man, I came into this thing homeless. I came into this thing with a backpack with three cell phones in it, a cordless drill, and some scales. Look what I have now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So, with all that being said, and some of you have heard me say this throughout the years, I just wish there was another word besides thank you, another couple of words that you could put together that says thank you, that seems more. I think we throw around thank you like it's nothing. You know, I'm going through a door, someone holds the door open for me. Thank you. We just throw it around flippantly, you know. Are you really thankful you got the door held open for you? No, you could have done that. You could have held the door open for yourself. We use thank you just like it's nothing. So I was like, there's got to be some other word in the English language, and there's not. But there is a there's a couple of more words you can put together that means even something else. So I Googled it, right? That's how I do stuff. And so I Googled it. I Googled, what is the deepest level of gratitude? And here's what it said. If you want to take a picture of that, take it home with you, whatever, because I'm telling you, when I read this, it blew my mind because I had never thought about this. It says, gratitude on the deepest level is a reflection, acknowledgement, and acceptance of our worth. That's enough right there. To God or to other people, when we choose gratitude, we accept ourselves as worthy and give ourselves permission to be loved. I want you to write this down. Gratitude is acceptance of our worth. Like, I've read that over and over because I just want to grasp it so well. When someone gives you something, that makes you worth something to them. If they didn't care about you, if you weren't someone special, they wouldn't give it to you. See, my relationship with Jim Williams, he was special to me and I was special to him. So before he passed, he gave me something. That tells me I meant a lot to him. So how can I not love myself when I have so many other people that love me? I find worth in gratitude. See, God gave his son to you. Now, like I said before, I love y'all. You're not getting my son. You're not getting my daughter. I'm not giving up one of my kids for you. I love you, and you're worth a lot to me, but you ain't worth that. To God, you are. To God, you're worth that. You're worth giving his one and only son for. Amen. And he did. Gratitude is acceptance of our worth. So then I wrote at the top of the page, gratitude is acceptance? Question mark. And I wanted to test it. So I went to 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18. And it says, pray continually and give thanks whatever happens. That is what God wants for you in Christ Jesus. I said, okay, then I'm going to test this. Pray continually and have gratitude whatever happens. That is what God wants for you in Christ Jesus. Well, let's try it this way. Pray continually and accept whatever happens. That is what God wants for you. It kind of passed the test, doesn't it? Accept and have gratitude whatever is happening. Find gratitude in whatever situation. Find what is good. Find what is positive. What can I be grateful for in this situation? I still wanted to run it past another test. I went to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 417, and we probably all know it, but it's about acceptance. So I did it here too. Acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. Gratitude is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, or thing as it being exactly the way it's supposed to be at this time and moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. let's back up a little bit. I find gratitude for that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it's supposed to be. They interchange. If you can find gratitude, you can find acceptance. Every week, like I said, we've been shouting, "Help us, Lord. Help us to be grateful for the blessing and the struggle." Be grateful for the struggle. What's pained you? Maybe I can't stay sober. I lost a loved one. I lost my job. I'm feeling upside down. I feel guilt. I feel shame. I've made so many mistakes. My marriage is on the rocks. Man, all these things. You pray that God would just take it all away. You know, when I wrote this, my struggles and what pains me, and I wrote my marriage is on the rocks, and then I wrote divorce, and it made me think, I've been married before. And in that situation at that time, it was horrible. It was miserable. Life as I knew it was being stripped away from me. I was getting visitation with my son, who I was there with all the time. Now I don't get to see him all the time. There was just a lot of pain in that situation. Man, it would have been hard to find something to be happy about in that moment. But I look back at it now. Nothing happens in God's world by mistake. Nothing. I look back at it now and I wouldn't have Hope. I wouldn't have Jesse. I wouldn't have Zach. I wouldn't have the wonderful wife I have now. I wouldn't have baby Emerson. All that would not be my life today if I hadn't have went through that pain. See, you pray that God would just take it all away. And I want you to write this down. Gratitude is not for what has been taken away. It is acceptance of what you have been given. See, I came into recovery, and I might say that's been taken away. My addiction has been taken away, but we all know that we have a daily reprieve. It's still here. It's still in there. It's still in there. We have a daily reprieve contingent on our spiritual maintenance. If I stop doing the things that I do, this monster will come back. It'll come back. And so I have to continue. It's gratitude is not for what's been taken away. It's acceptance of what's been given. I accept that gift of recovery. My struggles cause me to surrender. I'm grateful because it draws me closer to God. I've seen me without recovery. And I say this from time to time when we talk about priority list and stuff. It's like, well, I say recovery, God, my church, my family, my work, and I inevitably get a look. Wait a minute, you said recovery before God. I've seen me without recovery. There is no God. They have to be right here. That's why I love this church so much. I get to do it both at the same time. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Gratitude is acceptance. and acceptance of a gift, the gift of recovery, the gift of freedom, the gift of peace, the gift of confidence, the gift of healing. This reminds me of a story in Luke. It's Luke 17, 11 through 19. And I'm going to read this story. It's the story of the 10 lepers. While Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, he was going through the area between Samaria and Galilee. As he came into the small town, 10 men who had a skin disease met him there. They did not come close to Jesus, but called out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Does that sound familiar? "Help us, Lord." When Jesus saw the men, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." As the 10 men were going, they were healed. When one of them saw that he was healed, he went back to Jesus, praising God in a loud voice. Then he bowed down at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And this man was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "Weren't 10 men healed? Where are the other nine? Is this Samaritan the only one who came back to thank God?" Then Jesus said to him, "Stand up, go on your way. You were healed because you believed." So let's look at this story right quick. And the first thing that jumps off the page is the word disease. And the skin disease that they had was called leprosy. It affects the eyes and the nose, just your skin in general, but it does reach your spinal cord. You have sores and lumps on you. It attacks your nerves, your nerve endings, and the nerves outside your brain. It attacks the body's nervous system. And now, I wouldn't have known all that, but I Googled it. And so... it's highly contagious. You have to quarantine. You can't be around people. And they had to shout, "Unclean, unclean," when they came into an area where there was people. This disease caused a person to have to be alone and isolated. When I started really thinking about this and praying about this story, it came to me that my disease caused me to be alone and isolated. The people that truly loved me, they truly loved me, but they couldn't have anything to do with me. I was dangerous. I was unclean. I was unclean. In verse 13, they cried out to Jesus, and he responded with compassion. "Help me, Jesus." I said that. I remember many nights in the beginning of my recovery, laying in bed with sweats and picturing Jesus' face in the corner of my bedroom and asking him to help me. Verse 14, Jesus gave some instructions. He told him, "Go and show yourself to the priest." See, the priest... in that time could determine whether you were clean or unclean. And I was given some instructions when I came into recovery. Go to meetings every day, get a sponsor, work the steps, and help others. The parallel of these two stories once I started looking at it was amazing to me. See, verse 14, as the 10 men were going, they were healed. So I started thinking, at what point were they healed? It just says, as the 10 men were going, they were healed. So was it at the moment they turned and walked, they're healed? Or was it all the way till they got... They weren't healed till they got in front of the priest? At what point in this journey were they healed? I like to think that It's about halfway there. About halfway to see the priest that got healing. It reminds me of the promises. We'll be amazed before we're halfway through. Amen. This story, it was just, that stuff was just jumping out all over the page to me. Out of the 10 returned to say thank you, only one. Only one out of the 10 returned. Jesus said, wasn't there 10? Why did only one come back? Jesus asked, why did only one come back? My question is, why would Jesus care? Why would he care if one came back or 10 came back or 2 came back? Why would he even care? I want you to write this down. He wants a relationship with you. Gratitude causes us to be in relationship with Jesus. Amen. See, just like my friend Jim, I'm real thankful for him and thankful for what he gave me, and it causes me to tell people about him. And the next thing I want you to write down real quick is Jesus does not benefit from our gratitude. Our gratitude benefits us. He don't need our thank you. We need to tell him our thank you. It benefits us. Tonight, when you walked in, you probably saw the thank you cards. I think I mentioned them already, and there should be a pen on it, in between every other seat. I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight to benefit. We usually, and you can still fill them out if you need to, the prayer cards, if you're new here, we actually want you to fill one of those out and put some information on them. But tonight, use this as your prayer request. And they'll be picked up. I'm asking you to come to the prayer tables and lay your thank you cards down on the table here. There's one in the back. There's one here. We're going to have a couple of people standing up front here that'll pray with you if you need prayer. But write down what you're grateful for. You know, you hear all the time in recovery is like, man, I was struggling, I stumped my toe, and my sponsor told me to make a gratitude list. Well, why do you think they said make a gratitude list? I think sometimes we get into that frame of mind where we just feel worthless. Make a gratitude list. If you can be grateful for something, you can find self-worth. I wrote mine earlier. I said, Jesus, I have deep gratitude for what you have done in my life. Thank you that baby Emerson is here and healthy. I couldn't be more grateful for my family and their love for you. I have a life I could never dream up. Thank you. I'm going to put this over here. Put your name on them, man. These prayer requests, they go out. They'll go out. There's people in other countries that get these. And these people will be praying with you, too. I want to change up our prayer to close out. Just a little bit. Instead of help us, Lord, tonight I want us to say thank you, Lord. Yeah, see where it says help us, Lord? Let's say thank you, Lord. Jesus is Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For making us the church for the broken and the powerless.
Thank you, Lord.
For making us bold about the name of Jesus. Grateful for the blessings and the struggles. Thy will be done. Amen. Please come.